Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Len Casper.
Here it comes.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Cubs win! Oh, my goodness. Oh, baby.
Slightly above average bassist.
Slap it to bass.
Len Casper.
Boy, if you have a foot fetish, this is going to be your year.
On the Score.
Len Casper is on Twitter at Len Casper. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dan Bernstein here with Layla Rahimi. And get used to it, every Wednesday, Layla is going to be alongside. We announced that yesterday evening, and we couldn't be more excited about it. Len, that was a very strange but entertaining game last night for the Cubs.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Layla. Yeah, there was a lot of action. And we just came off a no-hitter on Sunday, so you can't say last night was the most fun we've had all year. Sunday would be number one on the list. I think the ninth inning on Saturday would be pretty close as well. And then last night kind of had that playoff vibe. Lindor with the dramatic game-tying two-run homer in the ninth, and then back-to-back hit-by-pitches to end the game. It was definitely strange, but I enjoyed it. You know, that was... When we get into that pace of play conversation, Dan, that game was 3-16, I think, something like that, which is a little bit over league average. But it felt like it really moved because there was a lot of defense. Jason Hayward throwing out Lindor at the plate. You had Javi Baez with the base running. Great catch by Anthony Rizzo. Just a lot of action, and I think that's the biggest thing we miss in the game today is just too many walks, too many strikeouts, too many home runs. And last night was a little old school in that regard.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Len. That was one of the first thoughts I had watching the game last night was just old school baseball in a lot of ways, getting excited when somebody got on base, seeing that base running. And also, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it was a stat that was pointed out last night. Brizzo connection ringing true. The first time this season when Anthony Rizzo had that RBI double in the fifth that he had brought home Chris Bryant. How encouraging of a sign is that to see that that part of the lineup work together in concert the way we've seen it before?
Yeah, and it's weird, Layla, because Rizzo has batted directly behind Bryant for most of the year. Chris obviously missed, I think, 11 games on the IL, but they started the year 1-2. And I think it just speaks to the fact that KB hasn't been on base a whole lot. RBIs tend to be functions of the people in front of you and being on base. I think that at the end of the day, figuratively and at the end of the year, literally, if the Cubs are going to make a deep run in October, they're going to need their big boys to get it done. And Baez has had a couple of great games here lately. Happ had a two-hit game last night. You're going to need the names everyone recognizes to come up with big hits. And for most of the season, it's been two or three at a time while three or four other guys are pretty cold. Everybody's not going to be hot at all times, but it would be nice to have a couple of pockets in the lineup that other teams really have to worry about.
Another great no-hitter call for you that you can add to. You've had a pretty lucky career of being able to have these opportunities. There's some veterans, some greats, some Ford Frick Award winners who never get the opportunity to call one, let alone the number you've experienced. Craig Edwards wrote a piece on Fangraphs that looked at no-hitter odds in the StatCast era based on batted ball data, looking at the combination of exit velocity, launch angle, distance, and expected batting average. In measurable history, that is the most improbable no-hitter ever pitched. Alec Mills had odds of 1 in 9,600. The second most was James Paxton in 2018 at one in 1993. This is by a mile the most unlikely no-hitter ever pitched.
Well, there were, I think, four lineouts, so there was some good exit velocity. Really, the last play of the game, it was a ground ball in the middle of the field that was struck pretty well. The biggest defensive play was probably Ian Happ going back to the warning track and retiring Jed Jerko. But, yeah, he got five swings and misses. He walked three. Kind of snuck up. I mean, I knew he had not given up a hit, but the story of the game really was the Brewers defensively kind of crumbled and allowed the Cubs to thankfully take advantage with a bunch of unearned runs and kind of sprint out to this huge lead. You had a position player pitch in the top of the ninth, which I'm not sure has ever happened before in a no-hitter, so that was unique. And then no fans in the ballpark. The Cubs and White Sox each with a no-hitter in the same season for the first time. The timing was good for us. We interviewed Alec on Open Concessions, the official Cubs podcast, last week. And so we had all this great biographical information. He was a student at the University of Tennessee, Martin. He was not on the baseball team, but he said, I walked past the baseball field a couple of times while they were practicing, and I got the itch again. And I thought, you know, maybe I should just give this one last shot. And they gave him a tryout, and they kept, you know, welcoming him back. And he said, they never told me I didn't make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how it played out. And it kind of fits his personality. And almost every time he takes the ball, I say, here's his 12th start. Here's his 13th start. Sunday was his 15th major league start. And I invariably say, but it feels like he's been here a lot longer. He carries himself with a lot of poise. That mound presence, I think, does matter. He's not always going to be perfect, but it feels like he doesn't let the situation get to him. The comparisons to Kyle Hendricks, I think, are very real. He admitted he plays catch with Kyle. They talk the craft all the time. And Kyle is a good guy for him to emulate, for sure. Now, I guess Kyle could emulate Alec because the professor's never thrown a no-hitter, so that's one goal he has now.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that personality, Len, because I noticed that in the post-game interview after the no-hitter, just how calm he is the entire time in such an emotionally potential moment for a pitcher, for sure. I'm not playing poker against this man. But to me, one of the things that I also thought was interesting about that no-no, and you speak to this, is just the simplicity of his game, making it so consistent, the repeatable mechanics. This is something that he can take in the future, and we can be talking about this for years just because of the consistency and the way his mechanics are.
Yeah, and the curveball was really good. I think, you know, he told us in the podcast that's still a pitch, the slow curve, that he's not totally comfortable throwing in any count. So I think you see it more early as a get-me-over strike to start the at-bat. And the reason he developed that pitch, he said, my curve and my slider kind of looked the same, and I wanted to separate the two, and the easiest way to do that is to slow down the curveball so the slider is in the upper 70s, the curveball is in the upper 60s. And the other thing about velocity, we had a graphic last week, I think, and it had essentially the lowest average velocity among qualifying starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. Kyle Hendricks is on that list. Dallas Keuchel is on that list. There were two other guys, and all of them have really low earned run averages, and it kind of hit me that it almost has to be the case that the qualifying starting pitchers who don't throw hard have to be decent or good, because if they weren't, if they all had an ERA of 5.5, they probably wouldn't be in the league, right? So if your average velocity is 97 and you've got an ERA of 6.10, you're probably still going to get a few extra chances. But if you're a Dallas Keuchel or a Kyle Hendricks and you have three straight years where your ERA is above 5, that might be the end of the road. But I think that, you know, that the bottom end, those guys do have an advantage because hitters like velocity, and I think every once in a while getting that change of pace – can be incredibly effective. And we've seen it here with Hendricks, Keuchel now in town with the White Sox, and obviously Alec Mills, who throws harder than both those guys. You know, don't get me wrong. He can probably hit 93 if he really wanted to, but he says, when I try to throw harder, it makes me less effective.
And this iteration of John Lester. You know, that's sure, really, yeah. that's the John Lester conundrum. Len, we've got about 60 seconds here, but this is a time to sort of evaluate the state of the pitching staff. Lester looked awful, done, buried, and then he comes back and does what John Lester does and just has a terrific start out of nowhere to try to hold the retirement demons at bay there. We know that Tyler Chatwood faced a setback. Quintana's on his way back. Give us a thumbnail overview of this pitching staff, where we are now and looking toward the playoffs.
Well, Darvish game one, Hendricks game two. If game three is necessary in the wild card, as we stand, you've got to figure Lester Mills as a tandem with all of your bullpen. And remember, no off days after that. Game, you know, five games potentially in the division series, seven games in the LCS. I said it last night, if the Indians make the AL playoffs and get to the division series, they're incredibly dangerous because they have rotation depth. I like that they did this because depth now will be rewarded, and the Cubs are going to need Quintana back for that very reason.
Len, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Layla.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.